We're in Galatians chapter 5, and we're looking at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And as was said already before, we've talked about adultery and fornication. So now we want to discuss uncleanness. And how would you characterize the term that Paul uses in this verse, uncleanness? How would you characterize that word? What does Paul mean when he says uncleanness? Okay. All right. Okay. Impurity of physically and spiritually. So yes, in a sense it would involve your body, Brother Duke. Okay.
Bestiality and things of that nature.
Okay. Things are unnatural and pure. Anyone else? Okay. Yes, absolutely. Their and Strong's define uncleanness as impurity. As we said, it's not only physical uncleanness, but also in a moral sense, the impurity of lustful living, completely given over to lewdness, self-indulgent gratification, and fleshly desires. And so as we continue with the thought that we're discussing the works of the flesh, the works of impurity, when we talk about the uncleanness, we're going to talk about mostly how it relates to the other aspects. But before we get into that, let's talk about the impurity of our bodies, okay? And what would be involved in that? Not necessarily just in an impurity standpoint, but just uncleanness of the body. One was talking about proper hygiene, and I believe that part of uncleanness in certain contexts, maybe not this particular context, could mean that. But what other types of uncleanness would be involved in that physically?
Gluttony, I guess.
Gluttony, okay. Anybody else?
Speech.
Yeah.
Foul speech, kind of like
that. Yeah, the words that we say. And we're going to talk about that. I've got a few comments to make about that when we talk about our thoughts, but that words are a physical aspect of it. So we're going to discuss our speech, whether it's a joke, whether it's a phrase, whether it's a word itself.
I don't know if this is what you're thinking about or not. I was just thinking back to the Old Testament. Even sickness, disease, you know, like those who were lepers, mm-hmm. being outside the camp and having to say that they were a leper or crying unclean, unclean.
Okay.
And, you know, if we relate that spiritually, I mean, that covers all sin, really.
Yeah.
When we have sin in ourselves, in our minds, it affects our body, as we talked about in the past. But just to think about that from a spiritual perspective, that whether it's, you know, adultery, fornication, stealing, lying, whatever it is, that really affects not just our mind, but our body. I mean, it affects the whole person.
Absolutely. I think that the adultery, the fornication are all part of the uncleanness. It involves uncleanness, the thought of being unclean, the impurity, and those are physical. Both of those are physical. So, yes, it definitely fits in.
I think it would be anything that would dishonor our bodies.
Anything.
And that word honor is used over in Ephesians 6, where we honor father and mother, and it means to esteem highly. That's the Greek word. So it'd be something to where we're not esteeming highly our bodies. It's where we lower our bodies, we dishonor our bodies in that respect. And, you know, it could be an eating disorder. You know, we talked about gluttony just a second ago, but you could be just at the other end, to where you have some of those eating disorders, to where it's doing damage to your body. So anything that's going to dishonor our body, do damage to our body, anything that demonstrates we're not esteeming our bodies in a high respect, because we need to understand what our bodies are, according to Paul in Corinthians. I'm sure you got to get into it. It's the idea that this is where the Holy Spirit resides. And so consequently, you know, this is one of those where we need to take care of that building. Just like we want to take care of our houses, we want to have a good presentation, we have to do the same thing with our bodies.
Absolutely. And Eddie, if you will, read 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20 for us.
Spanish Bible.
All right. 1 Corinthians 6, let's start with verse 18, because I don't know if I could understand what Eddie was saying if he was reading it. Okay, flee fornication. Every sin that is a man does is outside the body, but he who commits fornication sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So dishonoring our body in any way physically would be involved in the uncleanness that Eddie was referencing there. Anyone else? Dishonoring our body. Being unclean with physically.
Thoughts that we're presenting, and that is, in modern day times, we're taught, this is our body to do what we want to with it.
Okay.
But Scripture teaches it, as you just read it, it's not our body. You know, it's when we're in Christ, He dwells in us, and we have to. We can't. My word is to defile. We can't defile God, not with our words, not with our actions, not even with our thoughts. We have to cleanse our minds and our bodies. So I guess it's my thoughts on it.
Okay. Good.
Would it have something to do with the way we dress our body?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It could be. We're going to get into that. It could be the way that we dress. The actions that we perform could be involved in that. What about things that we do physically to our bodies? We talked about our diet, whether we don't eat enough or we eat too much. What about physical attributes of our bodies? You've seen all of the, maybe you haven't seen it. If you haven't, that's good. But people trying to change their bodies to look like something else. The guy that wants to be the male Ken doll, the ladies that want to have their bodies transformed to look like a human Barbie doll. Would that be involved in uncleanness? Is that dishonoring our bodies? Is that being impure? Kurt?
Well, there's we're trying to be healthy, but if you have to change what God has made you to do that, that's what's wrong about that.
Okay.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Tattoos would fall in that category too, wouldn't it?
Tattoos? What about tattoos? George brings up tattoos. What about tattoos on your body? Is that part of being unclean, uncleanness that Paul's referring to here? Or James?
I've been in trouble for making comments on this, so I'm going to be careful about this. But in the Old Testament, there were times where it was taught that tattoos were wrong, and they were done for wrong reasons, in the sense that they were marking their bodies, and it was told to them to stop doing that. Again, today, if we take God's word and we try to transform ourselves to be more like God, and we believe that what He made is good, then to improve upon that is not for us to do. And that's my diplomatic way of answering that.
Okay. Anyone else,
Ed? What I believe. Take it for what it's worth. I've done a lot of thinking on this because we've had discussion in our house. Not that anybody in my house wants to get a tattoo, but since we've been studying this topic, you know, Dina and I have been talking about tattoos and piercings. I'm a middle school teacher. I see a lot of different things. Even at the middle school age, you go to high school, you see a whole lot of different things. And so the past several weeks, been really thinking about it. And purpose. What is the reason you want to do that? Is it because you want to be like everybody else? You know, this cultural thing, and a lot of Christians will have a cultural argument for everything. Well, that's the culture. That's the way the culture dresses. So it's nothing wrong. I'm sorry, the gospel is delivered once for all. And so whatever is immodest now was immodest 100 years ago. Whatever is immodest in this country is the same immodesty over in Africa. Immodesty is the same around the world. It's been delivered. We concentrate on once in Jude 3, but he also says it's common salvation. It was delivered once for all. So it's the same everywhere. And so what is the, if your culture is having tattoos, it doesn't mean you can get a tattoo. If your culture doesn't have, if women don't wear shirts, you can't follow that culture. It's immodest. Okay, and so what is the purpose of doing it? If I want to fit in with the world and be like everybody else, I think we got a problem because there are other principles that deal with that. So what is the purpose for getting that, for that tattoo? What is the real purpose for getting that piercing? What is the real purpose for doing these things? Why do I want my body to look like Barbie? Is it so that I can catch everybody's attention and draw attention to myself? For my physical looks, principles in the scriptures that teach against that. Okay, and so I think this really centers on the idea of purpose. Do I want to? Am I doing it so I can fit in with the world? If that's the purpose, we got the wrong attitude, and there's a whole lot of other principles, and we are dishonoring our bodies to fit in with the world.
Very good, Jacob.
That I was just thinking here, even in. In Galatians 5, which I know we'll get to later, but at verse 20, he talks about idolatry. And several thoughts that have already been said this morning about, our bodies. Satan has conditioned our culture to, worship the human body. Whether it's, in the dress or just how we treat our bodies, what we put on our bodies, what we put in our bodies. And it kind of goes back to, I think, Eddie's comment about purpose. If we truly are Christians and we realize that our body is not our own, that God owns it, then we'll use our body to fulfill His purposes. But if we're in it for ourselves, we're just really worshiping ourselves. We want to, when we say it's all about me and it's all about everybody looking at me, then we really made ourselves an idol. We are our own God.
Absolutely, good point. Bert?
Worldly people, they want to draw attention to the outward appearance. Tattoos, piercings, what they wear or don't wear. A Christian will be noticed for what they do. Their actions and what they don't do that the world does. They will be noticed probably in a negative way by the world, but they will be noticed. So if you're looking to be noticed, just be a Christian. They'll notice you.
Okay. We were going to talk about this later, since it's been mentioned a couple of different times.
Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I think it fits in with what we're talking about to an extent. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 3. Do not let your beauty be that outward adorning or arranging of the hair, of wearing gold or putting on fine apparel. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So I think that ties into what we're talking about, the adorning of ourselves. Not that the adornment in and of itself is a sin, but it's the purpose. What is the purpose behind us adorning ourselves? Is it to draw attention to ourselves? Is it, as Jacob mentioned, to make ourselves an idol? Is it to try to be like the world? So whether it's whatever that you want to refer to, and in this case it's talking about fine apparel or the way that we wear our hair or jewelry itself, but even the tattoos that were brought up by George. And I would like to maybe, for a minute, because Brother James said something earlier, that the mutilations and the piercings and the tattoos in Leviticus 19 were forbidden because they were tied to religious worship of idols, worship of gods, and is how they, that was part of their worship of that particular idol. So we see the principle that's set forth in the Old Testament about what you do to yourself or how you behave with relation to idols. But then we also have to think about the modern day principles that's behind it. And it was brought up earlier about what are we trying to portray? What is our attitude behind it? So as we consider the things that we talk about today and throughout the quarter, there are three things that I would like to propose to you that the Bible says about determining whether we can do something or not. Okay, number one, is it authorized? Is it lawful? Do we have command, example, or necessary conclusion that says that we can do that? And whether it's with our worship or whether it's with our everyday actions, we need to have it needs to be authorized. As the reference that was made about the different cultures, and there may be a culture in some third world country where it's customary for the women to wear a certain type of clothing or not clothed at all. Does that make it okay? No, because it's not lawful. It's immodest, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But so you have to, first of all, you have to establish whether or not it's lawful. Is it authorized? The second thing that I would pose to you to ask, does it edify? Does it build someone up? Does it strengthen my brothers and sisters, the thing that I want to do? And then the third thing is, does it glorify God? And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. So those three things we need to keep in mind when we take in consideration whether we can do something or wear something or put on something or do something to our bodies. Is it authorized? Does it edify? And does it glorify God? So as we think about that in the light of whether it be mutilations, and I'm talking about certain scars, I don't have anything in particular. The only thing that jumps out of my mind is I can remember when I was in college that there were certain people that would go around. A lot of them were football players or athletes, and they would actually brand themselves on their arm with the Greek symbol of their fraternity. And so you would see them with a brand of a Sigma or an Epsilon or an Omega or an Alpha or something like that, whatever the first letter of their fraternity was. And it was a brand. It was a marking. Okay, it wasn't a tattoo. It was actually burned into their flesh. And that they would just take a soldering iron and just work it to where their skin would bubble up and it would scar over and it would be raised up on their arm. So that's a form of mutilation. Also, in that category, the tattoos that were talked about. And then we could even throw into that piercings. You know, the body piercings that we see today all over the body. And so as we think about those, and is it right or wrong, is it a sin or not a sin, let's keep in mind the three things that we said. Is it authorized, does it edify, or does it glorify God? Then there are other questions that I would pose if somebody were to ask me that, is how does my heart and my conscience convict me? Is it something that I think is okay for me to do? Is my conscience going to be clear before the Lord and before my brothers and sisters in Christ? If I decide to get a tattoo or a piercing or decide to mutilate my body, will I still want that tattoo or that mutilation years from now? You know, what about my spouse? If I'm not married, how would my spouse or my potential mate view that tattoo or that mutilation? You know, these are things that you need to think about if when you're talking to somebody who's thinking about getting a tattoo or if you're thinking about getting a tattoo, will I cause my weaker brother to stumble if they see that tattoo, if they see that piercing, if they see that mutilation? You know, how are they going to view that? Because that's something that we have to keep in mind. And is my decision based on the faith that I will glorify God with that tattoo? So somebody may try to make the argument, well, I'm getting a religious tattoo. So that just shows how strong my faith is. What would you say to somebody who would make that argument? Okay.
All right, we should show it with our heart. Anybody else?
What if somebody, your children, or one of your children's friends, or one of your friends said, you know, I'm thinking about getting a tattoo. I want to get a little cross put somewhere. What would you say to them?
Like I said, I've been in that situation multiple times now. And with Christians, it's not with worldly individuals. These are people that were brought up by Christian parents. And I'm getting nervous just even thinking about the conversations and how I would even deal with it. So grace and careful wording. And I think a lot of study before that person. I mean, because you don't want that person to leave mad. You don't want to tell them something out of anger and tell them that they're doing something that you know that you... I don't have my words together right, and I'd probably handle it like this poorly. But I would advise the person to at least study with one or two, maybe three other people to get a consensus of why that would be okay. That would be my opinion.
All right, yeah, don't just take one person's word for it. David?
My thought is on this as well, the thing like piercings and tattooings and stuff with your clothing, they can be removed and something has to be put on, but also makeup.
Okay.
Can be just as bad as getting a tattoo or short skirts or dresses and so forth. It's just as bad as a tattoo or a piercing that someone may disagree with it. No, I don't think you ought to have a tattoo, but yet their wife or their child is wearing 10 pounds of makeup and looking like a Jezebel.
Okay.
I mean,
wearing modest clothing.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. So, dude?
As God, under the old covenant, did not want the outward appearance of the giving of sacrifice and so forth, that not have the inward heart. And as Jesus condemned the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, the same thing, that they were openly broadening their phylacteries and long prayers on the street corners and so forth, he condemned them for it because they wasn't doing it out of love, now from the heart. So if we're gonna, are we trying to impress others with those outward things like tattoos and such as David announced, mentioned there? Or are we with our heart serving God is the key?
Okay, very good. Anyone else? Kurt?
When Julie first got on at the bank, all the girls were getting little tattoos on their ankles and their knee and stuff like that. And she's like, well, what do you think about me getting a little tattoo on my ankle? And I said, well, God made you the way he wanted to make you. If he wanted to make you with a mark on your skin, you'd have a mark on your skin. And so anything you put on your skin there is permanent. You're saying what God did isn't good enough. And so I asked her to think about that, because we weren't married back then, you know, when we were talking about it. And so, you know, she came to the right conclusion.
Okay. Good. Gary?
I've had these conversations with family members, as well as people in the workplace. So everyone pretty much knows how I feel about tattoos. You know, they ask you, do you want to see it? No, you know, I'm not interested. Personally, I mean, I believe it's a waste of money. doesn't do anything good for you, actually, you know. So,
I just wanted
to get a tattoo.
Tattoos, because I don't know how I would handle that. But I think most of my children know how my, at least my boys, how I would react if my boys came home with a piercing. You know, I think it's pretty clear there's blood would probably be involved, not from me hitting them, but from the removal of the piercing. Are there any?
When it comes down to the topics like this, you know, it's my personal opinion, I cannot say to somebody a tattoo is sin. If a tattoo is sin, then they're going to hell for it. And if a tattoo is sin, then anybody who gets a tattoo needs to be withdrawn from it. Okay, that's a willful sin, and so am I going to go there? And I think about it as an elder. These are topics that as elders you got to take a look at. And to me, I can't label it as a sin. It's one of those gray areas, and the Bible has a lot of gray areas. And the points that you just made, principles, are outstanding. Those are excellent. Because on the day of judgment, each one of us is going to stand before God. He knows our hearts. He knows, we cannot be dishonest with God. He knows. And we have to be totally honest with ourselves as to why we got that. Is it for whatever reason, a good reason, or is it because we just wanted to do it to please ourselves? Or we wanted to do it to fit in with the Word? Bottom line, He knows the answer, and we know the answer to that. And so we've got to be honest with ourselves. And as a Christian, as a child of God, we can't go with those two reasons or worldly reasons. And so, you know, I think that's why the word, you know, in my mind, uncleanliness is used. Dishonoring your body, dishonor is a very general term. Okay? And so we've got to make that determination, because on the day of judgment, we're going to stand or fall on what we did or did not do.
And so, it's a religious tattoo or any other kind of tattoo, and people would try to say, okay, well, a religious tattoo is something that shows, what does it show? And what would you say to that person? What are you trying to show, or what are you trying to say with that tattoo? It's a form of communication. So what is your statement about that religious tattoo? That I'm religious? So we have to have a tattoo to show somebody that we're religious? Is that what God wants us to do? Is that how God wants us to act? Is to say, you know, I'm going to carry around a symbol so that people know for sure that I am? Or do we show it with our lives? We show it with our actions. We show it with our deeds. Okay, I saw several hands, one here in the back, over here, and then over here.
Go along with what the heart is and what the motivation is for that tattoo. This is just a matter of fact. Sometimes in our country's history and in others, tattoos have been a way of identifying. A soldier would have his name tattooed on him somewhere, so if he was fell in battle, they could identify him. So I don't think that's a wrong motive. In the same way that some have been, that have rightly been brought up, that there'd be a wrong reason to do it, I think there might be some other extenuating circumstances somebody might, in times past at least, wanted to do it. I just felt the need to share that.
All right. Okay. Adam?
So, I got to figure out how to say this without somebody running me out of the building. Sit down, Todd. So, I always smile when we bring this conversation up. I don't have a tattoo, one on my body.
I thought that's what you were going to say.
But I would have a couple sleeves and it all over my back. I love tattoos. I think they're great. I don't have one on my body, and it wouldn't be if I did. It wouldn't be to show anybody. It wouldn't be to talk about it. It wouldn't be for Amanda. It would just be for me, and just because I like them. But the reason I don't is, you know, in Leviticus 28. God says not to do that. I don't necessarily think he's talking about just religious tattoos. I don't think he's just, because he generalizes it, and he just says, don't cut your bodies for the dead, and don't mark your bodies. Like Eddie, I don't think it's a sin, but if God doesn't like it, it doesn't put me closer to him. And I've done enough to walk away from it. And so I don't have any on my body because I don't want to do anything else to keep my mind and my heart away from him. But that doesn't mean that I don't like them, or that my reason for liking them is for everyone else. And I don't say that to people outside. You know, I didn't want to say it today, but I normally don't talk about it because I don't want people to think, oh, well, then he thinks they're fine. I would rather that person put their own principles together to make their decision on that. My conscience won't let me, because I don't want to do anything to distance myself, you know. And I'm, you know, yeah. I don't know if I've said that correctly or if there's going to be a horde here.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I think Christians choose not to do
for the very same reason. And as we've talked about, are we drawing attention to God, or are we drawing attention to ourselves? It was mentioned earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so that's what we have to ask ourselves, whether we're glorifying ourselves, whether we're pleasing ourselves because we like this activity, or are we doing it to glorify God? Now, that doesn't mean that we can't do something that we enjoy doing, as long as it's authorized, as long as it's lawful. Okay? The other thing that I would say is as we're thinking about this, you know, somebody says, well, I have a religious tattoo. We were talking about religious tattoos, because it's a sign of my faith. And I can look at that and remember, you know, that I need to do this or do that. Well, you know, how do we show our faith? What does James says the way that we show our faith? Is our actions, our works. So if we're wondering about how strong our faith is, go out and do something for somebody. And then you don't need something to look at. Jacob, did you have a comment?
We can have a definitive statement in Scripture or the New Testament about some of these things, but just thinking back to what we read in 1 Peter 3, you know, even with clothing that a woman or a man wears, or outward appearance, you know, in verse 4, I mean, he makes it very clear what is God really looking for, what is he most interested in, what should be our main concern is the hidden person of the heart.
Okay.
You know, and that, I think that has to be the driving force behind a lot of these decisions. But also thinking, too, about, you know, some things like tattoos or other things that maybe are specifically mentioned in the Old Covenant that are not specifically mentioned in the New Covenant. But I've come to the conclusion some time back that just from things that Jesus said, maybe in the Sermon on the Mount, some of those things to clarify really what God's intent was, even under the law of Moses, but to, you know, bring people to the new covenant, and you read through the rest of the New Testament, you know, a common idea is that now under Christ there's grace, and so things are a lot looser. But I think it's just the opposite, that not that God did not hold the Israelites to a high standard, because he's always been God. He has the same character, the same standard. But under the law of Christ, You know, like we've been talking about with adultery, fornication, those things Jesus says and other writers, not just the actions, but getting to our thoughts, getting to our heart. And so from that sense, I mean, I think that God is holding us to a higher standard. We have Jesus as our example to look to that the Israelites did not. And so he is going to, I think, expect much more from us when we stand before him in judgment. Absolutely. That may not give particular answers to all of these questions, but I kind of like your guidelines. I think that that should help us to come to a conclusion about it.
And, you know, just to tie into what you're saying about Jesus and the love that Jesus has for us, you know, that there may be somebody here, more than one person here, that has a tattoo, has at some point in their life performed mutilation or piercings that are not normal or whatever. And that doesn't mean that you're going to hell. But for the grace of God, we've all sinned. We've all done things that we regret. We've all done things that we're not proud of. So this discussion is about what we do from this day forward in our lives and how we portray ourselves. All right, any other comments? Zach?
Perspective on this one. I've had conversations about tattoos, high school, lineman school, with other Christians, non-Christians. One statement that really got out to me was from a Christian. He said, would you take spray paint and paint on the side of a church building? Your body's a temple. This is a modern day, in my definition, a temple. God's in it, if more than one Christian's in here. And but on the flip side of that, my perspective on tattoos, I've thought about getting one. Two things really have stopped me from getting them is, number one, that brother's comment, his perspective on it. Number two, I'm afraid of my parents, what they'd do to me.
Honor your father and mother.
But the more I think about it, a tattoo and a piercing are pretty much, in my definition, the same thing. They're scarring the body. What you said about the branding, it's mutilating the body. God didn't make women or men with holes in their ears to put earrings in. If you take that earring out, it's going to heal, but there's still going to be that scar. Tattoo, all it is a needle repeatedly going in your skin, injecting ink into your skin. You can get those removed, but I've heard they hurt 10 times worse than getting them put in. But I feel like there'll still be some sort of scar there. Okay. On either one of them.
All right. Anyone else?
Made, and the one that gets made, at least in the comments of the discussions I've had, is that the person wants you to say that it's not sin. And but not just because something is not sin doesn't mean it's right. You know, we're supposed to be slave unto righteousness. We shouldn't be looking for all the do's and don'ts and try to find where we can, I guess, graft our own individuality.
Looking for that gray area, right?
Yeah. It just because it's sin doesn't mean it's right.
Because what happens when you walk close to the line, right and wrong?
Right.
Sooner or later, you're going to step
it's supposed to be, right? Yeah, you're supposed to be going towards Christ.
Okay, we've got about 5 minutes left. I want to talk a little bit about some other aspects that we didn't really get into the spiritual side of uncleanness, but some of the things that were brought up in our discussion, our thoughts, you know, what's going through our minds when we're talking about works of impurity. We talked last week about how our minds are like a television antenna. And anything that we see is there. And, you know, we have to, you know, when we see things like that, we have to tune it out. Change the channel. Think about pure thoughts rather than impure thoughts. Our words, it was mentioned earlier, the things that we say. You know, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such is good for edifying as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. So are the words that we're saying edifying someone else? Are they something that they need to hear? Or is it discouraging them? Does everybody know what a euphemism is? Talk about euphemisms. A euphemism is a substitution of using an agreeable or inoffensive expression for one that may offend or suggest something unpleasant. Okay? Maybe, yeah. In worldly circles, absolutely. So I term euphemisms as using words that may be seem acceptable to the world to take the place of a word that's unacceptable. Of course, there's very few words these days that's unacceptable in the world. But things that we might think of as a Christian, we might use a euphemism for a slang word. And so there's things that are said that maybe we don't know. And I'll use one word, and there's so many we can't get into it today, but you hear people say the word gosh. And what is gosh a euphemism for? God. Okay? It's just using what people might consider appropriate. Geez. You've heard somebody say geez before. That's a euphemism for Jesus. All right, then there's all the different cuss words, and they have their own euphemism that people use in place of that. So it's maybe you're not saying the word, but what's your mind doing when you say the euphemism? So think about your words. Think about how it ties to your thoughts. Our attitudes, are our attitudes unclean? And it not just from the standpoint of how we approach a relationship from a pure or impure standpoint, but also the attitudes that we have towards our brother and sister. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, Paul says, "For I fear lest by any means when I come I should find you not as I would, and should myself be found of you such as you would not, lest by any means there should be strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults." So Paul is addressing people's attitude there, their feelings towards others. And what happens when you have a certain attitude? What does that result in? Actions, right? And how we treat others. So when we think about uncleanness and how it deals with our bodies and deals with our minds, deals with our actions, what are some other dangers that can lead to this thought of uncleanness? And we're going to talk about that when we talk about lasciviousness next week. I've got a few more. I didn't finish uncleanness. I've got a few more comments I want to make. So we'll finish with that next week, and then we'll get into lasciviousness. Thanks for your time this morning.